Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So on this Earth Day 2008, a short history of global warming and beer. In 2006, a brewery in Greenland started marketing a brew made with ice-cold water from the melting polar ice caps. In 2007, beer prices started going up in Germany because farmland once used for barley was being converted to grow biofuel ingredients. Now in 2008, the years-long drought in Australia has just prompted a call for scientists to develop a form of barley that needs less water. New Zealand's National Water Office is making that appeal, predicting that the warming earth will make barley farmable land more scarce, causing, alas, higher beer prices worldwide. Okay, now are you motivated to care about climate change? You can post to our comments page. What would make you care personally about global warming? If not a beer shortage, what? At WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for our Earth Day page. Well, that beer-concerned scientist in New Zealand isn't the only person outside New York thinking environmental thoughts that may not have occurred to you on this Earth Day. Let's hear about some other lessons that New York can learn from the greening of other cities. Amanda Taylor joins me now. She's the, quote, conscientious objector columnist in The L magazine. That's not L magazine. That's The L, letter L. And she put together a list of five initiatives that other cities are trying that should make New Yorkers green with envy. Welcome to WNYC, Amanda Taylor. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
By the way, beer shortage, do you think that would finally get people's attention?
It would certainly get the attention of a lot of people I know.
So let's go through some of these ideas, starting with San Francisco, where it's mandatory now for municipal construction to meet what they call LEED silver standards. What is LEED?
Well, LEED is a collection of architectural innovations that lower the impact of a building. They range from the kind of windows used, the levels of insulation. They can include things like low VOC or no VOC paints and finishes. It's basically any and everything that goes into a building. And LEED has several different categories in there, silver, gold, platinum. You know, they have different levels that they ask people to meet different categories.
I'm happy to announce that as WNYC packs up and moves over the next few weeks to our brand new facility on Varick Street, we will be adhering to LEED silver standards for that construction, but it's going to be mandatory in San Francisco, or it is already, for all new construction in the city.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really interesting mandatory building initiatives actually in California in general. They're bringing green roofs in Pasadena, and they're doing lots of other great stuff with new buildings.
So that's something New York could learn from, make that mandatory. Now, I know we've got listeners who have either visited or lived in many other places in the world, so call us up or post to our comments page. What ecologically friendly initiatives have you seen in other U.S. or world cities that New York might learn from? 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for Amanda Taylor from The L magazine. Is that The L, like the elevated subway?
No, it's actually originally The L, like the L line that goes out to Williamsburg.
Oh, that L.
It was originally meant to serve the communities along the L line, but it has since expanded its demographic.
To the G.
To the G, to the 6, to the 1, 2, 3, and 9. We're all over the place now.
Now, Chicago gets two places on your list. First, for its composting programs. They compost in Chicago?
They compost tons of stuff, literally and figuratively. They compost the waste from the police horses and food scraps from restaurants, and they're doing a fantastic job.
So how would that apply to New York? What would you see done to make composting a more common thing?
Well, a lot of cities in Europe provide compost bins, not bins in which you compost, but a separate recycling container in which you would put your compostables. And then in exactly the same way that they come around and pick up our bottles and our paper, they would come and pick up your compostables and take them to the municipal composting facility.
So in our studio apartments, besides the garbage can and the the one for the cans and the bottles and the one for the paper, you would add a composting bin and have them take it. And where would they put it?
Well, there are, I think there are a few municipal composting facilities in outlying boroughs. I think there are a few in Queens. They, you know, all they need is some open space and some people who know how to compost.
And I know there is some composting in the parks around the city, and there are some nonprofits that let you bring your scraps in.
Yep.
We're a long way from having a worm bin under the sink, though, in every New York apartment. New York, by the way, was ranked 20th on the Popular Science magazine list of the top 25 green U.S. cities. So like 20th, you know, could be better, could be worse, mainly for our use of mass transit. That's what got us that high on the list. And for being energy efficient, they said an average New Yorker uses about half the electricity that an average San Franciscan does. And we are also joined now by Michael Moyer, who is Popular Science's executive editor. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So let's see. America's 50 greenest cities. And so I know people will want to know. Number one is Portland. Two is San Francisco. Then Boston. Anything that Boston beats us in has got to, you know, get the jealousy, the juices going. Oakland, Eugene, Cambridge, Berkeley, Seattle, Chicago, Austin is 10, Minneapolis, then St. Paul, Sunnyvale, Honolulu, Fort Worth, Albuquerque, Syracuse, Huntsville, Alabama, for heaven's sakes, is two places above us. 19 is Denver, and 20 is New York. How'd you come up with 20 for New York?
Well, what we did, we added up a lot of different aspects of cities' infrastructure, including primarily where they get their energy from. Is it from renewable resources? Does it come from wind and solar and nuclear and hydroelectric? Hydroelectric explains a lot of why Portland and Eugene and Seattle are up so high on the list, because it's a very abundant resource out there. In addition, we looked at how many people take public transportation and carpool and ride their bikes to and from work. That goes into our transportation score. Along with that, two smaller categories here, we have green space, how much of the city is dedicated over to greenways and to parks, and then we also have our recycling and green attitude score, which is how effective the recycling programs are in different cities and what the population thinks about how important green issues are, which we thought was a good gauge as to what they're likely to do about it.
Any particular idea or practice that you see in any one of these top 19 cities that you think could be pretty well applied to New York?
Well, one of the interesting things that Chicago is really great at is this cogeneration facilities. As we all know, Chicago is very cold, and when you produce energy at small local sites, and if you have a large building, it's common to produce energy on site for the building. You can also use the waste energy from the waste heat from that energy production in order to then heat the building. Otherwise, it just goes off in steam towers and gets wasted. This is a way to make everything more efficient, and it's a real boom in Chicago now, and love to see it happen more in New York City.
All right. Michael Moyer, Popular Science executive editor. They did the top 25 green U.S. cities. Thanks for dropping in with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And we continue with Amanda Taylor from the Elle magazine, who wrote about, is it five things that New York, or is it more than that?
It's five things.
New York could learn from other
cities. There are many more than five that we could bring to bear on the city. But
now, here's a listener comment on our webpage that says, my wish, and it's a four-point wish. One, a Brooklyn contractor that specializes in green roofs. So hard to find.
Hear, hear. But I believe there are a few.
There are a few?
Yes.
Two, bike racks on buses like they have in Seattle. Three, rain barrels for watering my tree pit garden. Four, tickets given out for trucks left running or guys sleeping in their running cars. So that's
all these things exist in one form or another.
All right, let's see. Now, I said two things from Chicago were on your list. The one we didn't talk about yet was what you call the golden fuel systems. Is that the same thing that Michael was just referring to?
No, this is a vehicle fueling. It's recycled vegetable oil from fryers. And we actually have one company here in the city that's already doing this. They're called Tri-State Biodiesel. And they're doing a pretty fantastic job of collecting thousands of gallons of used vegetable oil and cleaning it and getting it ready for trucks and boilers. We could use a lot more of that, though. A whole system citywide could do a lot for lessening diesel emissions and.
That was Amanda's watch beeping, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So your watch must be 7 minutes fast. So,
it is, exactly.
Ta-da. So listeners, don't worry, you're not late. It's only 7 minutes before the hour. Michael in Brooklyn has something from Germany to suggest. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. When I visited Germany, I witnessed the implementation of solar panels along the highways, along the Autobahn, in many of the cities there. And I do a lot of driving up to Canada. And we certainly have a lot of open space that gets a lot of sunlight. I think that would be an excellent means by which to capture energy that
yeah.
can be used.
That is a great place to put solar panels. We also have a lot of open roof space in the city. We have nothing but open roof space in Manhattan. And we could certainly harness a lot of the sun's energy by putting solar panels up on top of our buildings.
Judy in Brooklyn has one. Hi, Judy. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How you doing?
All right.
I know that in Wichita, Kansas, they run recycling centers where people may drop off their unused or partially used household and automotive products, and they also do construction salvaging. And the citizens are allowed to go to these centers and take home products free. You know, they get a certain allotment a month, you know, so that somebody doesn't come in and take everything, but they can take a limited amount of products for their own use. And I think that could be a good idea and work to help keep more toxics out of the environment.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. By the way, why do you keep your watch 7 minutes fast? Is it to help you manage your time?
I'm chronically late. It's a trick that's not really a trick because I know that it's in effect.
Because you know it's tricking. You know, I used to do that, keep my watch about that fast because it helped me got through my morning with all that I have to do to prepare for the show. I kept tricking myself into thinking that I had less time than I really had. Which helped ease the pressure, but I gave it up eventually. It got too confusing the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Here's another comment from our website, which says, the Kingdom of Bahrain is currently undergoing an enormous building boom. This small island country gets every drop of its oil from Saudi Arabia for free for agreeing not to drill its own oil fields. They have built a futuristic-looking large office building in its capital, Manama, if I'm saying that right, in the shape of two tall wedges. Suspended in between these buildings are two turbines powered by wind, generating power for the building. You ever hear of that kind of building design?
No, I never have, actually. And a turbine built onto a building I haven't seen.
So there's one from Bahrain. You have one from Philadelphia in the article.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of work to open up. It's essentially a kind of depaving program where instead of letting all the water, when it rains heavily, run off the pavement straight into the sewer, they're trying to find ways to redirect that water into dirt, into grass, into tree pits, which eases the burden on the sewer system, on water filtration plants. That's a huge problem here in New York City. Every time we have even a tenth of an inch of rain, it overwhelms our sewage plants, and they in turn overflow into the bodies of water, which they are next to.
And for your last entry, you go overseas to Stockholm for a rather sobering initiative to do with what to do about the dead.
Yeah. Well, if you dip a dead body into liquid nitrogen, it becomes brittle enough that it can then be shaken gently and it will crumble into a powder. And this takes a lot less energy than cremating a body, and it doesn't release the mercury that may be in the dead person's fillings. I don't expect this to catch on like wildfire anytime soon.
It's not the place to start from a public relations standpoint, right?
No, but we, you know.
Catherine in Manhattan has one from Denmark. Hi, Catherine. Real quick, we're running out of time.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
There is a model that's working very well in Kalundborg, Denmark, and the idea is industrial ecology, in which lots of different manufacturers get together and they work cooperatively to use each other's waste as the other company's raw material. So, say, a sheetrock plant will make a lot of heat, and that heat will go to a fish farm in order to heat the farm and keep it running. So it's a closed cycle.
Great one. Thank you very
much.
That's fantastic. And Michael in Manhattan has one from Israel. Michael, 15 seconds.
They take old bread and they collect it from the various bakeries, and they recycle. They bring it to a... cattle eat it at a cattle raising places. There's a photo exhibit.
Old bread instead of growing the grain for the feed.
Right.
As a dedicated freegan, I know that there's a lot of old bread going into the garbage in New York City that could actually make a really big difference in trash transported.
All right. So Amanda Taylor from the Elle magazine, Five Things New York Could Learn from Other Cities About Being Green. Still to be resolved, how much more will we have to pay for beer before we're willing to pay more for oil? I guess that's what it comes down to. Amanda, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Happy Earth Day.
Yeah, you too.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.